Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody, and welcome to Redskins Talk Podcast. It's the bye week, but we're not taking any time off. JP, Pete, and Tandler all in studio because we're not going to Ashburn today. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Good to see you, boys. Good.
Tandler off the lazy boy. How about that? Upset.
In the church.
It's not quite Bills beating the Vikings, but it's up there.
It is.
Pete, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to scrounge up some chocolate chips for my muffin I just ate. There's a couple loose ones hanging
probably
around.
I didn't need that part of the update. Just the I'm doing well would have been fine. Okay. Big show. Before we get going, I want to thank the folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Here's what we got going for you. We got an interview with NFLPA Executive Director Demoris Smith. D. Smith is an all-time good guy, wildly intelligent, and few people have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the NFL more than that guy, honestly.
Probably one of the biggest guests we've ever had on the podcast.
For sure.
Yep.
Without thinking, I mean, as far as
like
head honcho type dude, it is.
Doesn't get much honchoer than that.
And credit to Tandler for setting it up. Well done, RT. So we're going to talk on the back end. It's absurd to have this discussion in week four. It's still September, but what can we do? This is the NFL assigned bye week. So we're going to say who has been the biggest surprise before the bye week and the biggest disappointment. And there's some good conversations to be had. The Skins are 2-1. If you're listening, I think you should be mostly encouraged by what we've seen from the Redskins so far. So we're going to come back and do that. We're going to go to D. Smith right now. Real quick, though, make sure you are checking out the good folks at Orsman Chevy Buick GMC of Alexandria. You know why? Among all the other reasons you should go check out Orsman of Virginia, they got the Orsman Lifetime Edge, the pre-owned inventory. They got it all. But that's Biagi's store. That's actually my guy, Bob Biagi's spot.
Yeah.
He's the GM out there. He'll take care of anything you need. I'm going to give you Bob's phone number. How about that? You should call him, 571-366-8047. They'll take care of anything you need out there. Go get a Chevy. Go get a Buick. Go get a GMC.
What's cool about all these Oarsman outfits? You got so many different cars. You can get it all at one stop.
Dude, anything you want.
One stop.
Yeah.
All of them.
1800 Old Richmond Highway, Alexandria, Virginia, 22303. Go see Biagi. All right, Tandler, you set it up. You take us to D.
Okay. Well, here is, without further ado, the executive director of the NFLPA, our talk with Demoris Smith.
Okay, this is a big-time honor to have the executive director of the NFLPA joining us, Demoris Smith. D, how are you, sir? Thank you for coming on Redskins Talk Podcast.
I am awesome. Honored to join you, too, and thanks for having me.
I want to start. I get to see you at a fair amount of games, and we get to chit-chat on the sideline. Are the roughing the passer calls driving you as crazy as they are all your players?
Well, I don't know if it'd be fair to say if it's driving me as crazy as everybody else because I don't play. I think that the roughing the passer calls is indicative of a lot of things we go through with the National Football League. We had this conversation with them at the competition committee last year, and our president, Eric Winston, and several other players raised a lot of concerns about how the rule would be interpreted, how it would be enforced, how to teach and train players to comply with the rule, And the frustrating part is just like any other rule where we talk with the National Football League in advance and raise issues that they don't seem to address at the time. And then it comes to fruition that you have a great deal of confusion, a great deal of frustration. I think that it's one of those instances where the league moved faster on a rule than they probably thought through the entire implications.
Well, and specifically, what about the Clay Matthews, Alex Smith from last weekend? That one, to me, was ridiculous. It was just...
I don't really get into specific plays.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, my job is I've got 2,000, roughly 2,000 players, and a lot of games, a lot of plays. So looking at it from a macro view, what we care about as the union is, A, obviously we care about the health and safety of our players. But when it comes to... the enforcement or the creation of rules, you know, we, the union, are not really a part of that at all. We play a role of trying to advise the league on what we think the implications are, but the league sets the rules, and through the officials enforce the rules. And sometimes it does get frustrating when you raise questions about the interpretation of rules or the implication of the rules beforehand. The league moves forward on its own like it always does, and then 5, 6, 7 months later, you're in a situation where I think there is a great deal of confusion by all of the stakeholders about exactly what the rule means and how to enforce it.
Sure, and you know, I was part of the media crew when they come around each year at training camp, and the refs kind of show you what the new rule emphasis are. And even those videos they show, there's confusion as soon as the refs leave the room. And, you know, I think some of it is kind of just the nature of football, but I'm curious what you think kind of big picture as far as the what the league is trying to do to make the game safer. If you think it's working, if you think that will make an impact 10, 20, 30 years from now?
Well, definitely the role that we have played, and I have to give credit to the league where credit is due.
And credit to your organization, too.
Yeah, well, and believe me, it's a rare day when I give the league any sort of credit.
I understand.
But on the issue of health and safety, have we worked together to make, you know, both practices off season and the game safer? Yes. Do I think that is going to pay us dividends, you know, in 20 years? Yes, because I think it's already paid us dividends in how we approach the game. I mean, look, you and I have been around this sport for a long time. I can't remember a time, you know, before 8-10 years ago when people openly talked about health, safety, making practices safer, keeping players safer. That wasn't a part of the everyday discourse in the business of football 10 years ago like it is today. So I know that we've made a difference. I think when you have a goal in mind of keeping the game safer and then you impose or enforce rules like this, sometimes I think what the league overlooks is that players are still being coached a certain way. There tends to be more of an impact on the player if he makes a play that violates the rules than an impact on the coach and on the team. And I think that at the end of the day, you tend to have a paradigm where the goal certainly is to keep players safer, but it doesn't really help anyone if you have rules that are difficult to interpret and then therefore difficult to enforce.
Yeah. Hi, D. This is Rich Chandler. I got caught in some legendary D.C. traffic getting here from Ashburn. So
really?
We weren't even going to call you out on it, Chandler.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's okay. took 2 hours for a 45-minute trip. But what I'd like to know is, you know, practice, there's a lot of talk about sloppy tackling. You know, they can't practice that. What about the quality of play, you know, quality of play versus player safety and kind of how do you look to draw that balance when it comes to like hitting in practice, hitting in training camp, things like that?
Yeah, I don't really seek to draw a balance. I don't think that the two things are mutually exclusive. I do know that, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago when players were practicing and having two-a-days, I know that when we didn't have sideline concussion experts, I know, you know, I certainly realize and remember a world where we didn't have guidelines on painkillers that were given to players, and we couldn't restrict the number of hours that players were on the field. I remember those days because that was the NFL that I came to, and our players made a decision, the right decision, that all of those things were not in their best interest. So I think that what we have to do is to continue to have health and safety as the North Star, but there's no need to talk or think in binary terms. There is no idea that there is a football that is divorced from safety, or you can do one and not the other. So I think, you know, when it comes to the quality of play, I think that that's something that we always have to take a look at. But that doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice, you know, what tends to be the only individual who's going to be hurt. If you choose to sacrifice or you know kneel towards the god of the quality of play, the only person who's going to suffer in that scenario is going to be a player. I've been in this job for a long time. I have yet to see an owner, you know, get hurt during a game.
Right. So, yeah. When Dan Snyder did his dance that one time, I was a little worried, but I think he's
well.
All right.
You know, I mean, he stretches beforehand, so I think he's going to be okay, but. Yeah, I mean, I certainly hear, you know, people when they talk about things like quality of play. And look, to be dead honest, we hear it from players. And what I tell them as custodians of the game, it's your job that you make and you have an obligation to make or provide input into both. But don't fall into sort of a sloppy, you know, syllogism that if you care about your health and safety, somehow you're okay with, you know, eroding the quality of play or vice versa.
Well, and one thing you mentioned in there that I wanted to follow back up on is kind of the national consciousness has totally shifted on painkillers, especially sure. as we see the rise of this opioid crisis compared to legalized medical marijuana, like in a number of states. Is that something when the new CBA comes up that the NFLPA is going to really try to get the league to look at differently?
Well, we've always, you know, made the league look at the issue of pain and painkillers differently. I mean, it was the union that raised the issue of the rampant use of opioids back in 2010. I mean, I testified, you know, within 3 months of getting this job, I was on the Hill talking about the issue of concussions, but also its connection to providing players with painkillers. And if you're provided with painkillers and you're asymptomatic and you've nonetheless suffered some sort of head trauma, you're more likely to engage in the same conduct that got you hurt. So, again, going back to this world where you don't think about it in binary terms, I care more about pain and talking about the issue of pain than immediately jumping to the issue of painkillers, right?
Right.
And so if you look at it that way, the first goal should be how do we make sure that players aren't suffering from long-term chronic pain, and you do whatever you can to decrease their exposure to injury. Once you do that, then you move on to the second step of how do you make sure that players are getting access to the best pain management system. And with the issue of whether it's CBD or issue of whether players have access to alternative treatments, I mean, I hate calling them alternative treatments now because they really aren't. But, you know, things like STEM and things like yoga, things like having access to
to stretching and cold tubs, hot tubs. All of those things are intricately connected, as well as, you know, what facilities are available to players both at the training facility and at the stadium. So, you know, the goal of the union is to look at this rather holistically. And do I think that there is a necessary need to look at issues like marijuana or, you know, quote unquote, medical marijuana, as well as derivatives of marijuana like CBD? Absolutely. But I would look at those in the context of how do we decrease the overall access to pain in the first place.
D, it's so impressive talking with you because you run a massive organization and you are one of the few people in this country that stand up to NFL owners who are some of the richest, most powerful people in the world. Yet you are so down to earth that you just feel like you're talking to a regular guy, not this incredibly smart, incredible lawyer. And there's a million things we could ask you, but we appreciate the time, man, sincerely.
Well, thank you for pumping up my ego to death, my house, anytime to say that to my kids and my family about being incredibly smart.
I'm confident your kids won't care.
Yeah, they really don't. But hey, it's great chatting with you guys.
Yeah, and hey, let's try to catch up sometime again, maybe in the off season. We got maybe got a little more time to delve into a few other issues.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just on the road between now and Christmas. Anytime you guys want me on the show, let me know. Send me a text. Call George. Happy to be on.
Thanks again, D. Talk soon.
All right, guys. Take
Thanks.
Care.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Again, big thanks to D. Smith for coming on. Just, it's crazy. I said it there at the end, but like D. Smith will walk by and I'm doing a live hit at FedEx or something. And he's just the coolest. Like, we'll just like give each other five, whatever. And he'll be like, all right, man, talk soon. You'd have no idea that that dude is running a $1 billion operation.
Yeah. I mean, I just last Sunday, he was there on the sidelines, just walked over and said, you know, and said, hi, how you doing? Said, hey, you got to come on our podcast. He goes, sure. When do you want me?
Right.
And it was like, okay.
Right.
And so we exchanged contact information. I called him up and we set it up.
Well, and I think we're probably a little lucky that he's based in D.C. We're based in D.C.
Yeah, and he's done some stuff with this network, so
right.
he is familiar.
Pete, is now the time to make fun of Tandler? Should we do that after the bye week surprise and disappointment?
Let's just do it now before we forget.
So Tandler is very punctual and likes to give me grief all the time about being late, because generally I'm pretty late. I admit that my life is chaotic, but a lot of it is my own fault. I understand all of these foibles. Tandler, however, sets up a big deal interview, gets D. Smith set up. D. Smith's timeline is tight. It's got to be right at 10 a.m. And I get a call from Tandler at 9:45. Hey, I'm in McLean. Traffic's bad. Now, if that was me or Pete, you would give us so much grief.
Well, you know, I think, as you've noted out, is very much the exception rather than the rule.
Yep.
But yes, I left my house.
How mad were you?
Oh, I was furious.
Were you cursing in your car?
You know, I did for a little bit, but yeah. Then I just kind of gave up.
Did
I
was you try?
Like,
so
you know, I gave in.
Toll road to the Beltway. Beltway's all jammed up.
I tried to go through McLean to the Beltway.
Oh, like Swinks Mill and all those little Road.
No, Chambridge Road. Went through down the road my parents used to live on. There was no good way.
What was it?
It was 2 hours.
Was it an accident or what was going on?
There was the right. Okay, this has made it even more annoying, as I found out. There was the right lane just past the exit for the GW Parkway going into Maryland, had a disabled car.
Oh.
And, you know, they had a cop car. They had the big truck with the arrow. I guess the car had just been towed out. But just remove the car.
Yeah, just bump
Ask
it over.
Later.
Put it in the shoulder.
Get, you know, get a tow truck, remove the car, and open up the lane, and then sort it all out. But no, they sorted it all out right there.
I do think a little bit you take great joy in knowing the traffic I sit in every night driving from Ashburn to Bethesda.
I'm aware of it. That's why I live in Ashburn.
There's a little bit of karma involved here. There's a little bit of karma involved
here. That's fine. Hey, look, I was late. It's not something I make a habit
Not only late, but then you then walked in and made more noise than necessary.
He brought the crinkliest water bottle in history.
Just wait until we're done with the interview to get your water bottle.
Stop crinkling it.
Oh, my God. All right. Back to business. All right. We'll start with Pete. What the hell? Pete, who is... Now, again, we recognize that it's absurd to assign a surprise and a disappointment. It's only been three games. But the NFL gave them this bye week. It's not our fault. Take it up with the NFL, okay? Pete, who is your first... Can we call this the first half of the season?
First about, I think it's 18%.
Right. First quarter of the season surprise. Or do you want to start with disappointment? Whatever.
I'll do surprise, and I'm not going to do the obvious one. I'm going to go, and again, this is hard because we've seen them play 3 weeks, but I'm going to go with Chase Roullier, filling in at guard and center, both capably. I don't think we've heard his name called for a penalty. I don't think, while all the other offensive linemen have been injured and kind of shuffling around, Chase has been the one beacon of consistency so far. And I've just been impressed that a sixth-round pick can come in and be a very solid piece on the offensive line and for 2 out of 3 weeks play center with a veteran quarterback and keep that offense moving. So Chase Roullier is my biggest surprise thus far.
Yeah, besides Alex Smith, he is the only other player to play 100% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah.
Bang. All right.
Versatile and reliable so far for the young Chase Roullier.
I think Roullier works. Yeah. Do we want to go around and do surprises, or do we want to each person go surprise, disappointment?
Let's go surprise.
Okay,
let's
well, go ahead, Dan.
Adrian Peterson.
Sure.
The guy was not on the team after preseason week two. Came in, showed some stuff in preseason week three, was on the team, and just boom, right out of the gate in Arizona. Against the Colts, he was not getting blocking. It's not like, oh, yeah, he had a big hole there. He's 33 years old, so that's why he couldn't make it to that hole. He just had no place to go. And then, of course, 120 against the Packers. Just, I was surprised. I thought he was, I thought he was done or close to it. And, again, that's one of the dangers of doing this. 18.75% of the way into the season.
A lot more can happen.
A lot more can happen. But
a lot more will happen.
For right now, he's definitely a very pleasant surprise. And I would say, even if he doesn't get much done the rest of the year, he's still worth bringing in the minimum salary that had to be done.
I certainly didn't ever expect him to get 20 carries and go for 120 yards.
Yep.
And he's done it. It's been very cool to watch.
He's had two games, well, I guess 96 in Arizona, right?
He's fifth in the league in rushing with a doo-doo middle game.
Doo-doo middle game. Well said, Pete.
Thank you. Doo-doo and poo-poo.
All right. Yeah, thanks for clearing that up, Pete. my surprise, I'm going to go with Matt Ioannidis.
Nice one.
I think he was good second half of last year. He's gotten to be just incredibly strong. But the sack he had against Aaron Rodgers where he just picked up the tackle and carried him into the quarterback was so impressive. Three sacks, three games. I'm not a math guy, but I can tell you what that pace is.
Yes.
I don't know that he gets to 16 sacks, but what was even more remarkable is in that Packers game, the Skins were in their nickel package most of the game, so Ioannidis wasn't on the field very much at all because he plays in the base in the 3-4, and he still had a sack in pretty limited snaps. I think Ioannidis is playing really well for them, and against the Saints coming up, I think they'll probably go nickel almost exclusively against New Orleans. But when the Panthers come to town and it's Cam Newton and it's a more physical front, you're going to see a lot more of Matt Ioannidis.
Yeah, he played only 18 snaps.
And he still had a sack, which is crazy.
Yeah, he had a sack, which is great. But a number on him. First Redskins interior defensive lineman to record sacks in three straight games since Dan Big Daddy Wilkinson.
Wow.
In 1999.
Didn't Lanier have like 4 and 5 games?
Yeah, I don't think.
But I guess he never had a. So he had like two one-off, two something like that. Okay,
doing a lot of math over there, JP.
Yeah, I'm a math guy. Pete, where did Dan Wilkinson go to college?
Florida State.
No, you remember Taylor?
Yeah,
the Ohio State University, because he was an SI cover guy.
Yeah, number one overall pick in the draft.
Well, and that was when Sports Illustrated covers were like a big deal. Like, I used to read that magazine cover to cover every week. It was like, the holy grail of sports.
I remember a while ago, Jason Campbell was on the cover of SI, and it was when I was at the beach in Massachusetts, and I scrounged that entire state to get a Jason Campbell SI.
When he was at Auburn or when
no,
he was
Redskins.
With the Skins?
It was like a big training camp story about how he's finally settled in and ready to go. And him in his yellow jersey right there on the cover. Wow, that was such a waste of time.
I owned a JC17 Believe t-shirt made by the good folks at DC Sports Fan. It was a pretty hot t-shirt back in the day.
Nice.
It didn't pay
remarkable.
Off.
Remarkable. No,
yeah.
No.
All right, Pete, you're up. Disappointment.
Disappointment. So I'm wrestling between two. I'm going to choose Tandler's guy, Preston Smith. I know JP Ooh. Says he got better in the Packers game, but 3 weeks, no sacks. Meanwhile, Matt Ioannidis is just churning them up. So Preston needs to be more involved, maybe get some. Tandler pointed this out. When he's rushing the passer, he's had this habit of keeping his hands down so he's not deflecting passes. There's a lot of weird kind of holes in his game right now. So Preston Smith, take this bye week, get rested up, refocused, and come back and produce.
Any argument,
yeah,
Tandler?
That's what I was going to say, but I haven't.
No doubles.
Don't worry, there's
you're going to the other side of the D line, I'm guessing.
No, I'm going Josh Doctson.
Yep.
Well, that was mine.
Okay, well.
Going last in this sucks.
I
Go
know.
Ahead.
I know, but, you know, I wrote, this is coming out tomorrow, I think, but he, you know, let's forget about a breakout season for Josh Doctson. How about a decent game?
Yeah.
You know, he just has been quiet. You know, he hasn't. You know, he had that one chance in the end zone, which really wasn't a chance against the Colts. But that
was a bad throw.
It was a bad throw. I don't think he ever had really a chance to haul it down. But you know, really, he's just been quiet. Not many big. Actually, all five of his catches have been for first downs.
Yeah, but his average is 9.6.
Five catches.
Five catches.
Five
in three games.
Five for 48.
Three games.
So,
give me all the receiver stats, Pete. What's Richardson at?
Okay.
Is he the only receiver over 100 yards at this point?
I assume so. Tim, edit this so it's a little tighter.
This is entertaining podcasting here.
Yeah, I thought you had it up, Pete.
I just was looking at Doctson.
He just had Doctson's number.
Okay.
All right,
Richardson's 9 for 131 and a touchdown. 14.6 average compared to Doctson's 9.6. And then Crowder here.
He's not at 200.
Is at 9 for 79 and a touchdown.
And Doxson's at 5 for 46?
5 for 48.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, man.
Crowder
I said this on the radio with Dukes yesterday. I don't think Doxson's the number one wideout anymore. I don't think any of these guys are getting to 1,000 yards, but I think Richardson's the number one wideout.
I don't think Doctson ever was to begin with.
Last year, I kind of think last year that was the plan.
It was, yeah. Well,
maybe it was prior.
I mean, not every team really has a number one, but
yeah, I think
it's not a he's got to do something he will get more targets if he makes more catches, and if he makes more catches, he'll get more targets.
Right.
It's
flat
just
circle
kind of thing.
I had this conversation with Dukes.
To just do it.
Doctson is not a bust. Rashad Perryman is a bust. You know what I mean? Like, to be a bust, you have never delivered.
Yeah, you're injured.
Perryman got cut
that.
With guaranteed money on the table.
Right.
Baltimore paid him to go away. Doctson is not that. I don't think it's fair to call him a bust. But if we're all going to continue to look at him through the prism of his draft position.
Which is fair.
I kind of think, I mean, if he keeps on this rate for this whole season, I think you can call him a bust. And I'm getting close to it right now. Well, he delivered 35 catches last year, 6 really nice touchdowns, but an invisible rookie year and has done nothing in the third year. I think he's pretty much at that point.
And it's a big year for him because after this year, the Redskins have to decide if they're going to declare that fifth-year option.
Right now, there's zero chance.
Yeah, I would say zero, especially since he can, you know, I think his injury tendency to get injured is overblown by his rookie year.
I agree with
He's
that.
He's been pretty
dirty. Me.
But still, there is that risk of him getting injured. Although it's never happened in the several years we've had this fifth-year option. Nobody's ever been injured that a team wanted to cut, so they ended up paying that fifth-year salary when they didn't want to, or to an injured player. But
Skins kind of did it with Robert Griffin III.
Well, no, they kept him on the bench so he wouldn't get injured.
Right, but they paid
never
him.
Been a situation where
they paid him when he didn't play.
Well, yeah, well, he was a reserve, the third string quarterback.
which is kind of crazy to do, to pay a fifth year.
No, he wasn't on the fifth year option. That was the fourth year. If he had been injured during that year and could not pass the physical,
And then they were able to release
that. Would have become guaranteed.
Okay,
is the fifth year option is guaranteed for injury. So even though it's never happened, we'll see. It's early. This would be better if we were, calculating these chances.
And again, it's the NFL's fault that we have to have these conversations in week four.
Why not group the bye? You could do the byes in 4 weeks. Just group them, eight teams, take a bye.
They might not have enough inventory to sell all their games. Thursday, you got to have a bunch of Sundays. Fox gets a national game.
But there are Sundays when eight teams have a bye.
Well, then, I don't know.
It does make sense.
I'm interested to see who you go with, JP.
Yeah, I'm running out of options. So, interesting here, looking at Pro Football Focus I have such trouble with Pro Football Focus sometimes. They have Ruye and Bergstrom in the 50s for their ratings, which is pretty low. But they have Doxson as a 55, Richardson as a 63. Adrian Peterson they only have as a 60.5. I need to see what they have Crowder as. All right, here we go. They have Crowder as a 58.6 compared to Doxson as a 55. I think Crowder's been significantly better than that. Just the catch. And granted, it was a hell of a throw. All right, my disappointment. I'm going to stop yammering here. I think I got to go with Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no sacks through three games. He made an impact in that Green Bay game, certainly. Yes. And I am in no way counting out Ryan Kerrigan for the season. It's been 3 weeks, but first 2 weeks he was pretty quiet, and I think they need more out of him. It's crazy that they're able to get two quarterbacks that they're putting up sack numbers, and it's all coming from the interior,
from the middle, yeah, which is I guess a good sign if those guys can get going. Maybe eventually they're going to start to focus more on the inside, let Kerrigan and Smith rack up a few sacks.
It could be pretty ferocious if that works out.
Yes.
Did you guys see, all right, before we go, did you see Bashaud Breeland finally got a job?
1 week too late.
With the Packers.
With the Packers.
Bree is a nice young man. Yes, I hope it works. I still find it.
I think that's a steal. Like, they're getting a pretty good corner just off the scrap heap. I know he's not perfect, but he's competitive.
I think there's got to be health questions. Yes. Yeah. Right? How does he not get a job all this time?
I don't know.
There's a lot of bad pass defenses like the Chiefs and the Saints, and Breland's finally playing for the Packers now. I think that could work out for Green Bay.
Taylor, who do we ride with, dude?
Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
Taylor likes to point out speaking of Virginia, we haven't talked about your tweet yet. You caught a lot of heat, and I actually defended you on television.
Yeah, we did a whole segment.
Which you should have. I saw my segment. Thanks for the heads up.
when I just had to shout over the curtain for you to come in?
Yeah, I'm not the producer of the show. I didn't know we were going to do that.
Just let me hold on. What are we talking about here? What's that? What are you
heads up on the tweet? The
100
tweet was going to be on 100.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Maybe I probably knew that at like 4 o'clock of a 5 o'clock show.
Right.
I'm talking about in post game when we yelled for you to come in and Grant and JP Flame and everybody were giving you grief.
Yeah. Oh, that too. I had no warning on that either.
Did you bring it up on DC Sports Live also?
Been sufficiently beaten up.
I never thought you didn't know where Old Dominion was, to be clear.
Yes.
But it's still funny. The internet is ready to pounce at all times.
Right. And so I just took it. I didn't argue back with anybody. I wasn't going to turn
what
it into
I am more excited about
Twitter
is
war.
That you love your home state so much, and now you think it's for losers.
Just for right now.
And the traffic that you got stuck in today. You're having a bad Virginia month.
It did
dude.
Let up. It did let up when I got into Maryland.
Well, you're that's damn
cause
right.
That's because of the blocked lane.
The great state of Maryland.
What's I'm totally blank on Maryland's state motto. The Key Line State or
something? I think the Free State.
Oh, okay.
Free State.
Yeah.
Our roads are free.
Nothing is free.
Nothing is free.
Including bags at the effing grocery store.
Yep.
All right. Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Go ride with them. That's who we ride with. Go check out Biagi. That's my dude. Thank you guys for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you. Oh, scheduling note.
Yeah.
We will have another podcast Friday.
The best interview possibly you've ever heard featuring one of our own.
Or maybe the worst.
Yeah. Well, dude, we're going to catch up with Mitch Tischler live at Oktoberfest, and it's a show.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to have John Keim on. We're going to talk bi-week activities. And Sunday morning, this should be pretty cool. And maybe even late Saturday night. What the hell? We have a legit overseas audience. Like 10% of our audience is overseas. So if we put them out Saturday night, it gives them something for Sunday morning. Where Tim Shovers, who's an audio whiz, has put together a best of the first half of the season, or the first 18%, as Taylor likes to point out. And I think you guys are going to enjoy that. So if you need your fix Sunday morning with no Redskins game, we got you. All right. All that said, if you made it this far, owe you a beer.